Open your Bibles, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. This is a marvelous Monday night crowd. We certainly thank the Lord for each of you that are here. And I realize there's a myriad of places you could be on a Monday night. But here you are in the house of God with the people of God getting ready to hear the Word of God. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being in the service tonight. I again so appreciate the choir and the offertory by Mrs. Hamblin, and the special just a moment ago. It was my hero, Billy Sunday, who said, bad church music. My hero, Billy Sunday, said, bad church music is as worthless as a glass eye at a keyhole. Billy Sunday said that. And that's about how I feel in regards to bad church music. But you never have that problem here at the Church of the Open Door, because the special music is always stellar, and it's blessed my soul tonight. Gospel of John, chapter 21, I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 6. Gospel of John, chapter 21, and verse number 6. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I so appreciate many of you that have been praying for me as I've been, and please, no complaint, I'm not complaining, but as I've been struggling just a little bit with some vocal motor issues, I appreciate you praying for me. All the home remedies that have been offered to me since I've been here. Dr. Belcher, you have a staff member's wife, who came to me last night and gave me some green gummies and said, Dr. Hamblin, this will help the problem that you're having with that bad cold. Green gummies. I looked on the bottle and it was medical marijuana. Thank you, Mrs. Belcher. I so appreciate you, doing that. That was so kind of you to share your own supply. So kind, and I appreciate it so very, very much. God wasn't in that. He wasn't in it. It was hilarious, though, but God wasn't in it. For several months now, I've been making the statement on Monday nights in my meetings. And this is Monday night, and I've been doing it now for several months, and I need to continue to do it. And I've been in my meetings, Dr. Belcher, every Monday night, for months now, I've been giving a PSA, a public service announcement. And I will do it again tonight in this meeting because it is Monday night. I want us all to take our Bibles and hold our Bibles up as high as we can. Would you do that? Take your Bible, hold it as high as you can, and here comes the PSA. Public service announcement. We are not transitioning on gender or God's holy word. I am John Hamblin and I approve of this message. Gospel of John chapter 21, and we'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 6. Now listen, I need you tonight, again, as I mentioned last night, to listen very carefully. To listen on purpose, and you always do, to listen very closely, because I believe tonight I have a truth that if you'll listen closely, if you'll pay attention, if you'll listen carefully, I believe it will answer a myriad of questions that you've had about certain aspects and certain avenues of the work of God. So I need your undivided attention. Gospel of John, chapter 21, and I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse 6. Dr. Belcher, you'll find it interesting that I preached this message in a Sword of the Lord conference not all that long ago, and I had two young preachers separately in the same service come to the book table and say, Dr. Hamblin, because of the message tonight, I'm leaving a liberal church. Two young preachers made that statement after hearing the message tonight. And so again, I believe if you'll give me a fair hearing, I'll be a great help. Far more importantly, God's word will be a tremendous help in each and every one of our hearts. Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verse number 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Little phrase in this verse that I wish tonight we'd place a mental tent around. It is the phrase, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Do you see it? Amen. There it is, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, the right side isn't the left side. And the left side isn't the right side. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit, place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. And you may be seated. And if brethren up in the sound booth, you could give me just a little bit more volume, that would greatly help me. Maybe a little bit more on the monitors, and that would be a huge help. Thank you so much. When it comes to the work of God, even with all of its many facets and features, there are really only two focal points: the correct posture and the incorrect position. The Christian and the church must always have the discernment to come down on the side that heaven sanctions if they're to know heaven's smile. Well, fundamentalism offers the amen of the Christ. It is liberalism that there offers the applause of the crowd. The right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, we find Christ's directed service brings divine success. Now, this chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: Jesus the stranger, verses 1-4. Jesus the master, verses 5-8. Jesus the host, verses 9-14. Jesus the shepherd, verses 15-17. And then Jesus the Lord, verses 18-25. It is while the Apostle John is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with Jesus the Master that a person sees the deliberate and decisive instruction that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. One Bible student, Dr. Belcher, who's been in heaven now for many years, once wrote about our text, when Jesus takes charge, failure is turned into success, and the difference was only the width of the ship. Now there are at least five, they're favorable things that the scripture clearly states are on the right side. Savior seated next to the Heavenly Father on the right side. Luke 22:69. Sheep on the right side. Matthew 25:33. Safety on the right side. Psalm 89:13. Satisfaction on the right side. Psalm 16:11. And service on the right side. Our text, John 21:6. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, may have put it best. And instead of two sides of a ship, he selects the image of two roads when he said, we have come to the turning point in the road. If we turn to the right, mayhap our children and our children's children will go that way. But if we turn to the left, generations yet unborn will curse our names for having been unfaithful to God and to His word. Never forget, while many insist on doing the work of God from the left side of the ship because it seems more palatable to the culture, there still are some, and I'm preaching, thank God, to a church full tonight. There still are some that insist on doing the work of God from the right side of the ship because it is surely more pleasurable to the Christ. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, well, many insist on doing the work of God from the left side of the ship because it seems more palatable to the culture. There still are some that insist on doing the work of God from the right side of the ship because it is surely more pleasurable to the Christ. Friend, you and I, those of us that are saved and serving, there need to decide that we're sticking to serving God from the right side of the ship. You see, the right side isn't the left side. And the left side isn't the right side. Now, quickly tonight, there are several tremendous things that stand out from simply serving the Savior from the right side. And they're all found here in John chapter 21. If you happen to bump in to the sermon police, you tell them that on a Monday night in the spring revival meeting, the sermon police at the church, the open door, that I preached an expository sermon. Then also for me, do this and tell them in Jesus' name. And so quickly, I want to give you right from this chapter three tremendous things that stand out from serving the Savior, not on the left side, but on the right side of the ship. Let's quickly notice it tonight. The right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side. Number one, the adherents. Verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore. A tremendous thing that stands out from simply serving the Savior from the right side is the adherents. In verse 6, the Apostle John tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples which side of the ship to throw their net. And they take at this point the stranger's advice on the shore in switching fishing spots. Brother Josh Belcher, you know it, but this simple act went 100% against their fishing profession, their fishing practice, their fishing prejudice, and even their fishing pedigree. Tune in, the three words they cast therefore is the marked difference between barrenness and blessing, existing and excelling, and even average and abounding. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once wrote about this scene in the scriptures when we obey the Lord and seek his will for our lives, we will be successful in the undertaking he assigns us to do. He continues to write, it may be in the business world, it may be in the ministry, fishing for the souls of men, but wherever he leads, if we follow his leadership and trust him for the outcome, Oliver B. Green penned, we can count on blessing and outstanding results. Psst. Let a person put their ear to this Bible page and they'll hear all of those disciples sweetly singing in a heavenly harmony when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way while we do his good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, don't just be King James Bible only, but be King James Bible obedient too. Because you see, the right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side, because it's on the right side that we find the adherence. The Bible says in Jeremiah 7:23, but this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it will be well unto you. Breaking news. All three members of the Trinity aren't looking for those that will sit on an advisory board telling them what's wrong with the Word of God, the will of God, or the way of God. But all three members of the Trinity are looking for those that would simply do their best to follow the last thing that was said to them 24 hours ago from the pages of the Bible. Oh, when you and I decide and when you and I determine to do it the right way, to stay on the right side, there will always be what's here in John chapter 21, and that is the adherence. When Adonai Judson graduated from college and seminary, he received a call from a fashionable church in Boston to become its assistant pastor. Everyone congratulated him. His mother and sister rejoiced that he could do his life's work at home, but Judson shook his head. My work is not here, he said. God is calling me beyond the seas to stay here, even to serve God in this ministry. I feel would be only partial obedience, and I could not be happy in that. Although it cost him a great struggle, he left mother and sister to follow the heavenly call. Dr. Belcher, the fashionable church in Boston, still stands rich and strong, but Judson's churches in Burma have 50,000 converts, and the influence of his consecrated life is felt around the world. On a strictly personal note, I have the privilege of preaching a fundamental college commencement, and I got to shake a young man's hand who was getting a degree that night, who had graduated before that from a Bible institute that Adonai Judson had started. You say, preacher, what are you saying? What I'm trying to say is the right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side, because on the right side there is the adherence. That's right. Amen. Number two, let me hasten And I know I'm going to get stuck here. Number two, the abundance. You say, no way, way. The abundance. Verse 6, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. A tremendous thing that stands out from simply serving the Savior from the right side is the abundance. In verse 6, the Apostle John tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ teaches those disciples then and every disciple thereafter the lifelong lesson that heaven does not scowl but smiles on those who do it the correct way. If a person should doubt that for even a second, verse 8 follows up with further substantial evidence from this divine narrative, dragging the net with fishes. Put this in your mental filing cabinet. When the Lord directs our service, there are no more empty nets. When the Lord directs our service, there is no more empty nets. I'm stuck. When the Lord directs our service, there's no more. Brother Aaron, I'm not keeping up, am I? You look like you're napping there. When the Lord directs our service, I thought he was a wax figure. When the Lord directs our service, there are no more empty nets. You see, the right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side, because on the right side, there is the abundance. Friend, you and I need to decide. Would you look at the text, John 21 and 6, that phrase, cast the net on whatever side you think. No. Cast the net on the updated side. Dr. Belcher, if I'm lying, I'm frying. I've been hearing rumblings in recent days in some of our fundamental circles and corners that we need to update the King James Bible. Now, you got to be a special kind of stupid to say something like that. You know, it's interesting. They never want to update the Constitution. Hello? They never want to update the Rock of Gibraltar. Hello? I said that the other night I was preaching. I said, hello? And a lady in the back row said, goodbye. And got up, walked out. Couldn't believe Mrs. Hamlin did that to me. I could not believe it. But you know, they want to update the King James Bible. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. You mess with this Bible, and God, hear me tonight, will monkey with your brains and it will be manifested in your behavior. Leave the Bible alone. When you look at verse number 6, it doesn't say any side matters. It doesn't say we ought to update the side. It doesn't say take a poll and find out in your community what's the accepted side. No, no, 1,000 times no. It says the right side, and what we find on the right side is the abundance. Friend, you and I need to decide that we're sticking to serving God on the right side of the ship because of the abundance. Now, quickly tonight, there are several things that these fish in this story represents to the serving saint. Now, when I say serving saint, I'm not talking about the church member that only comes to church on Christmas and Easter. We call those CEO church members. They only come Christmas and Easter. There's some people that wouldn't recognize the house of God unless it was decorated in Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies. They wouldn't recognize the house of God. I heard a black preacher say one time, some people, the only time they come to church is when they're hatched, matched, and dispatched. That's funnier than you're letting on. But in this narrative, These fish represent some interesting things to the serving saint. First of all, souls. Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You see a thing that these fish in this story represent is souls. No such thing as being a follower of the Savior without being a fisher of souls. Now I realize where I'm preaching. And I understand that to a great part, I'm preaching to the choir when I say anything about soul winning at the great Church of the Open Door, because she does not have a national but an international testimony of being a soul-saving station. But on the heels of that, let me say, you can be a member of a church that has an outstanding soul-winning reputation like the Church of the Open Door and still never pass out a gospel tract, still never go to the altar to pray for a lost soul, still never carry a burden for someone you know that's unsaved. And so what these fish represent in this story, oh my, they represent souls. Amen. Secondly, stats. Now before you say anything negative later on social media about what I just said, verse 11 and 153. Verse 11 and 153. Verse 11, 153. Dr. Belcher, I never do this, and so since I never do it, I think it'd be all right for me to do it every once in a while. When you take that number, 153, and you move it from the Greek language into the English language, I never do this, it means 153. This crowd that says, it's not about numbers. Really? Really? Not about numbers? Strange. Your paycheck's about numbers. If you'd asked me, how many grandchildren do you have? I would not look at you and say, it's not about the numbers. If you'd asked me how many grandchildren Mrs. Hamlin and I have been blessed with, I would not say less than five and more than three. That is nothing more than pseudo-spirituality that gags me. Look at it. 153. The Bible does not have a book called It's Not About Numbers. I'll let you catch up. Brother Levi, you'll find this interesting. 2 weeks ago, I was in a revival meeting in Onaway, Michigan with one of my Timothys. And he has a daughter who's in her senior year, and she just scored in her senior year in girls basketball 1,000 points. And so I was preaching, and I called her name. Her name's Brooke Ferriello. And I said, Brooke, congratulations on those 1,000 points. I said, how many points did you score? She said, 1,000. I said, really, 1,000? So it's okay that we can count buckets. But you mean to tell me the Pharisees say we can't count people being born again? Now listen, we can get excited about a young lady, and I did. And I congratulated her, and I commended her publicly. We can get excited about somebody having 1,000 buckets, 1,000 baskets in their college basketball career. Then you better believe that when this dear man gives a report of 19, it was 9, but I'm an evangelist, we stretch a little bit, 9 that got saved last week, somebody ought to say amen, and somebody ought to get excited, and somebody ought to say praise the Lord, because you know what? There is stats. Let me give you a Bible verse, 1 Samuel 14:6. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. A thing that these fish represent in this story to the serving saint is stats. The same God who reached one can also reach 101. In other words, there is no catch limit on souls. I'm so happy to report to you that God does not have a heavenly game warden. He'll say to you, soul winner, you got too many. Oh, you went over the limit. Oh, you saw too many. Got to throw back three. No, no, no. And what these fish represent in this narrative to the serving saint is stats. Thirdly, sustenances. Matthew 15:36. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples a thing that these fish represent in this narrative is sustenances. God will often himself set the table for the Christian and church that's in the fishing business. Oh, I wonder, Dr. Belcher, how many times in the many years that you and you and your precious wife have been here, there's been an unexpected bill, that there's been an unplanned need. And before you can get on your knees, before you can even put it on the prayer list, before you can ever take it to the throne of grace, all of a sudden it's like the sky opens and heaven drops into your lap, into the lap of this church. What is needed for that need? What is needed for that unexpected bill? You know why? Because you're after souls. You're after souls. You're after souls. And when you're after souls, God, I believe, will put the angels in heaven on half rations to take care of one of his children or one of his churches that are after souls. During the coronavirus crisis, and by the way, let me just pause for station identification. If you've not figured out by now that Anthony Fauci is a political hack, you probably think wrestling is real too. We're having more fun than a barrel of monkeys tonight. But during the coronavirus crisis, and I probably ought not say this out loud, but my cell phone right there in the phone book. I shouldn't say this out loud. But in that phone book, there is the cell phone, Brother Josh Belcher, and the personal email address, private cell phone number, personal email address of five millionaires. Shouldn't say that. Because during the invitation, when heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're going to steal my phone is what you're going to do. But during the coronavirus crisis, when the calendar just bottomed out and my spring was decimated, would you like to know how many of those millionaires I text? Would you like to know how many of those millionaires I called? Would you like to know how many of those millionaires I sent an email to? Are you ready? I'm going to give you the number zero. Zero. In fact, Dr. Belcher, one of those millionaires, he's now in heaven, graduated recently to glory, Dr. Russell Anderson. Dr. Russell Anderson was quarantined in his condo on Maui. Now, place a little bookmarker there. If we have that craziness again, I want to volunteer to quarantine on an island in the Pacific. So he's quarantined in his condo on Maui, and he calls me, and he says, Dr. Hemlin, how are you? I said, Dr. Anderson, I'm great. How are you? He said, well, I'm fine. He said, how are you? I said, I'm wonderful. How are you? He said, well, I'm good, but how are you doing? I said, I'm great. How are you? And finally, he said, Dr. Hemlin, I'm sure you live from your meetings, and I'm sure that you're struggling a little bit, and I'm sure you find it tough. And Brother Levi, if I'm lying, I'm trying. I said to Dr. Russell Anderson, I said, did you call me for a loan? And we went through that coronavirus crisis, which turned into coronavirus craziness, with every bill paid. Food in the pantry, food in the refrigerator, full tanks of gas in two vehicles. And please don't say amen here, but I came out of it weighing more than when I went into it. Thank you for not saying amen there. You see, friend, what those fish represent in that narrative, they represent sustenances. Oh, that every single person that is in this service and watching by way of internet would realize that the fish in this story represent souls, represent stats, represent sustenances. Amen. Back in 2017, I flew into Chicago Midway Airport late on a Saturday night. I'll start a revival meeting the next day. I was to be at the Bible Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, where Dr. Hebert Rodriguez is the pastor. I've given Dr. Rodriguez a nickname. Dr. Belcher, I called him the young Hispanic Dr. Lee Robertson. Before he took me to the motel room that night, because he wanted me to see his church, since it was my first time to be with him, we went by the building. I happened to notice on the church sign that it said, "Big day for the Sunday of the start of our meeting." I asked him, I said, "Are we having a big day?" And he said with tears in his eyes, he said, "Dr. Hamlin, we are." He said, "I told you about it, you probably forgot. But yes, we're having a big day." And he said, "My people have been praying around the clock and they've been witnessing around the clock." And he said, "We've been working so hard." And he said, "It is our goal tomorrow to break our attendance record." I said, "What is your attendance record?" And he looked at me through his tears and he said, 400. Now I know you visitors from heaven don't think this way. But in case you haven't figured out, I am not a visitor from heaven. And when he said that we're having a big day the next morning and that we're going to break an attendance record of 400, I thought to myself, if there are two weekends that you don't want to have a big day, it's the weekend of your mother-in-law's birthday and Memorial Day weekend. It was Memorial Day weekend. And I thought to myself, big day. I mean, Memorial Day weekend. If you're going to have a big day, you don't have it on your mother-in-law's birthday. You don't have it on Memorial Day. But sure enough, that's when he planned it. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, "Brother Rodriguez, I am going to trust God with you that we see that old attendance record broke." And then less than 12 hours from looking at that church sign, I stepped into the Bible Baptist Church to preach and there were 424 people that were crammed in that building. They would have had to use a shoehorn to put two more in. And when the invitation was given, 31 people walked down an aisle, knelt at an altar, looked at an open Bible, and trusted Christ. What are you saying? I'm saying the right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side, because on the right side there is the abundance. Let me just throw this in for free. It's the crowd that doesn't have results that's critical of those of us who do. It is the crowd that doesn't have a crowd that is critical of those of us who do. So what do you find on the right side? You find the abundance. And then number three, and last of all, and I've been looking forward to get into this third point, not only the adherence and the abundance, but number three and last of all, the appearance. Verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." A tremendous thing that stands out from simply serving the Savior from the right side is the appearance. In verse 7, the Apostle John tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ reveals his presence, and it is a direct result of his disciples responding to his revealed plan. Verse 6, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship." A person must bear in mind that Christ's presence brings with it the power of conviction. Because as soon as Brother John shouts, "Who's here?" Brother Peter scurried to put his clothes back on and then jumps into the sea to hide his stark nakedness. Sidebar, both the work and even the worship of the Lord dramatically changes when there's a discernment that we're with the Lord. One Bible student now in heaven for many years once wrote about this spot in the scriptures. Silvery wonders were still coming up from the deep. The bottom of the boats were covered. The piles of flopping fish were getting larger. But Dr. Belcher, I must add that the attention, oh my, needs to move past the miracle to the manifestation of the Master on the shore. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the abundance. Again, it thrilled me when our brother told us that that man got saved in the front row, and there were seven that were saved last week, and Brother Josh Belcher told us about one that got saved on the bus. That thrills me. I love the abundance. I love it. I love it. I want some more of it. I love the abundance, but wait a minute, hold it, stop the press. There's something better than the abundance, and that's the appearance. And I love the abundance. I love the miracle. I love the miracle. It is a miracle every time somebody gets saved. In fact, that's the greatest miracle. It's not the healing of a body. It is the saving of a soul. That is the greatest miracle. And man, I love the miracle. But there's something, oh my, better than the miracle. And it's the manifestation of the Master. Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. Oh, like old Mace Jackson used to say, we probably ought to take a recess and shout for about 30 minutes. Jesus showed up. And I believe with all of my heart, if we can, Dr. Belcher, one single time get the people of God to understand the worth and the wonder of the appearance of the Lord in their life, it'll absolutely transform and challenge their Christian life. Friend, you and I need to decide that we're sticking to serving God from the right side of the ship because of the appearance. The Bible says in Acts 17, 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Can I just go ahead and put it plainly? I found that there are people all the time that are asking for a Bible verse on this and a Bible verse on that. And I believe we should give them a Bible verse. But at the same time, there's a crowd that they don't want one Bible verse. They want 400 Bible verses. And when you're done giving them 400 Bible verses, they want 401. And to some things, all I can say to you is an answer, right side. Right side. Right side. Right side. That's all I can say. Well, how come the choir at the Church of the Open Door can't get on that platform looking like escapees from a nudist colony? Right side. How come when Dr. Belcher preaches, he don't preach in a fishing shirt? I know some preachers that preach in fishing shirts. They remind me of male moo-moos. How come we don't preach in fishing shirts? Right side. How come Brother Young leads us in the hymns? Right side. How come the special music at Church of the Open Door is revival friendly? Can you give me a Bible verse on that? I can. Right side. Why is it that there are certain people that get a standing invitation in the Church of the Open Door, and others, bless their heart, won't even be allowed to lead in silent prayer in the nursery? Right side. Right side. Right side. I'm not interested in answering the skeptic. I'm not interested in satisfying the podcaster. Swallow hard, you'll get it down. I'm not interested in satisfying those that you cannot satisfy. And I'm here to tell you the answer to a lot of things is just simply this: right side. Amen. Right side. Right side. Right side. Why do you wear a suit when you preach? Right side. Why do you shine your shoes before you preach? Right side. And why do you wear polo black? Do I have to give you all the information? Oh, dear friend, hear me. I can't wait till the haters get a hold of this. Right side, right side, right side. We don't even want to lean that way. We don't even want to list that way. We don't even want to look that way. Because it's on the right side where there's the adherence. It's on the right side where there is the abundance. But there's something better than those two. It's on the right side that there's the appearance. You let the Lord show up one time in your Bible reading, and it'll change your life. Boy, I appreciate the great job Brother Young does. Man, just awesome. I mean, congregational singing and choir and just, I mean, out of the park. And every time he leads a hymn, it's the right one. And I'm blessed and leads that choir. Man, that was great. A little inside baseball. The choir number that you sang, just between you and I. You just keep between us. We won't share this with anybody else. Just between the two of us. Yep. That choir number, that was Mrs. Hamlin's offertory. Now, don't tell anybody. It's just me and you. Right. So she had to run out of the car and make up something. And that's pretty good on the fly, wasn't that? It was going to be achy, break your heart. So I was really pleased that she went with the one that she went. She got that music from Mrs. Belcher. But I mean, hey, I enjoyed the choir and I enjoyed the congregational singing and those two folks that sang a moment ago. Man, that was such a blessing. And man, it took us all to the heavenlies. And man, I got goosebumps picking up from Nurse Piglet. It was awesome. But I have to tell you something. This morning in my motel room, when I had my devotions, I had his presence then. Tonight wasn't the first time that I sensed his presence. You see, if you've ever sensed his presence in reading your Bible, Dr. Campbell, you'll come to a passage and you'll say to yourself, well, not arrogantly, not haughtily, but you'll come to a passage and you'll say, well, I know that chapter and I know what's going on in that verse and I know what's going on in that scene. And when God steps in, when the Lord steps in, all of a sudden a verse you thought you knew, you don't know. All of a sudden, Dr. Belcher, a scripture that you thought you had a handle on, God reveals himself. I'm not talking about something spooky. He reveals himself in such a way that, I mean, Brother Holbrook, you're looking at your fingers to see if you got ink on them because it seems like the verse was just written. His appearance. If he ever steps into a prayer closet, you ever been praying and you get to the end of the prayer list and his presence is so rich and real that, Brother Levi, you don't want to say in Jesus' name, amen. You don't want to stop. Have you ever been in the prayer closet where his presence has been so real that you're afraid to open your eyes for what you might see? Now again, I'm not talking about something spooky. Just talking about his presence. Being real. Do you ever go soul winning and you need a verse? And you didn't think you knew the verse. And you quote the verse, word and punctuation, perfect. The Lord's presence. You ever go to draw the net? That's an old phrase. I'm dating myself. It's an old fundamental phrase. I know today we're used to not here, but in some places we're used to passing out them water bottles with a half a Bible verse on them, you know. I don't know if you draw the net with that, but anyhow, back to the message. You ever go to draw the net, and all of a sudden you give the illustration that you didn't think you knew, that was the exact illustration that God used to draw that person to Christ. His appearance. I don't often share this, and please do not feel sorry. But when I was a boy, I learned that I have a learning disability. I never mention it. And sometimes I'll get done studying, and as you can tell, I'm old school. I mean, I am old school with all capital letters. And so I'll get done preparing a message, and I won't turn off my laptop because I don't have one, but I will put down my pen, and I'll look over what I prepared, and I'll think to myself, Dr. Melcher, I'm not smart enough to put that together. His appearance. There have been times I've been in the white heat of preaching, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. And I'll make a statement and I'll think to myself, I don't know if that's helping anybody, but that's helping me. If he steps into your life one single time by his presence, you will never, ever be the same. You say, does that happen on the left side? Don't know. But I know it happens on the right side. Amen. The appearance. Does that happen down at the great, the gourd, the gathering? I don't know. But it sure happens at the church, the open door. It sure happens in Dr. Belcher's life. It sure happens in my life. Does it happen with the preachers that wear the skinny jeans and the tennis shoes and the, you know, I look at them and they look like the Mod Squad. I mean, rejects from a boy band. Does that happen to them? I don't know if it does, but I know it happens to those Amen. That have said it's the right side. Yep. Amen. It's the right side. It's the right side. I'm closing with this. If we were to go to BWI, Baltimore, Washington International Airport, and if we were to charter a plane from BWI to London Heathrow and land in London and have a shuttle bus waiting for us, and that shuttle bus take us to Westminster Abbey, and we're to go into Westminster Abbey, we would find in Westminster Abbey a memorial to the two preacher brothers, John and Charles Wesley. Somewhere in that memorial, they have the three famous statements of John Wesley. Statement one, the world is my parish. Statement two, God buries his workmen, but he never buries his work. And statement three, the best of all, God is with us. They tell me that that third statement was made at the deathbed of John Wesley. And as John Wesley was soon to graduate to glory, their family and friends were gathered by his deathbed. And all of a sudden, John Wesley began to wave his right arm and with all of his strength say, the best of all, the best of all, the best of all, God is with us. And graduated to glory. I want you to know that that statement, the best of all, God is with us, does not have to be at the finish line of our Christian life. But it can be in every day and in every way of our Christian life. And if we're to know the reality of that, it is determined and decided by what side of the ship you serve. Because you see, the right side isn't the left side, and the left side isn't the right side. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We have seen from the Bible the tremendous things that should cause the believer to stick serving from the right side of the ship. That's the only way we're to know heaven's best. And if I could recap the message, boil it down to one statement, blessing or bust depends on what side of the ship you're serving from. That's it. That's the whole message. Blessing or bust is determined by what side you're fishing from. We stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you're lost, main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was buried and rose again from the dead that you might be saved. And if you're here and you're lost, oh, that you would come and receive Christ. If you're here and you're a Christian, I mentioned when I started the message, I said two young preachers recently in a Sword of the Lord conference, separately, same conference, after hearing this message, came to me and said, I'm leaving a liberal church. I wonder who in this service tonight would raise their hand and say, preacher, just that one statement, the right side, has solidified some things in my heart to keep me serving on the fundamental side. You lift your hand all over, all over, all over, all over, all over, all over, all over. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. Thank you. May I put them down? I want to ask another question. Maybe you've had some questions about why we do what we do in the work of God, why Dr. Belcher does what he does at the Church of the Open Door. And you lift your hand tonight and say, you know what? I figured it out tonight. I figured it out tonight. You lift your hand and God answered some questions for me that I've been having a long time. You'd raise your hand. You'd be honest. I've answered some questions. God bless you there, ma'am. Others. Now it's good to raise a hand. I'm for that. But there's just something about sealing a decision at an altar on our knees. And I would so encourage you to, like myself, find a place at an altar tonight to do business with God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, may not one in any way grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. May this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name, amen.